First, what a joy and a delight it is to be here with you all this morning on this great feast day. And as we were getting underway, I was pondering, James said out, well, I think it was out at the table out there, he said, to join together in this great celebration of the church, this great celebration. And it always strikes me that it's a good reminder that we have such things as feasts and celebrations. It seems to me that in our time, in our culture, in our world, in the Western world, we have lots of, you know, parties, but we don't have many feasts and celebrations. We have lots of parties, you know, people go out and party Friday night. Why are they partying? Because they can. All right. Because it's there. I don't know. What is it? You know, we think that somehow this is all very meaningful, that we go out and have a good time. But what we do in the church when we celebrate a feast day, when we have a celebration, is it is very purposeful. It actually connects to the depth of who we are and what we are as creatures of God. Because what we feast, what we celebrate, is the great gift that God has given us in our creation, in our redemption, in our sanctification in the Holy Spirit. And today is the Feast of Pentecost. It's been referred to as the birthday of the church, capital C Church. Thank you. That's another good one. By the way, the confirmation class said that one of the things they remembered about preparation was the difference between small C and big C Church. Is that a C for you? No, that. Sorry. Anyways, you know what a C looks like. All right. So we have a celebration, and it's purposeful. We've been doing this, of course, we do this every year, and we do it in cycles, but we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We celebrate his life. We celebrate his death and his resurrection, and then we celebrate his ascension and now the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon us. And all of these things are a part of this great whole, part of this great whole in which God, who created us in the beginning, created us for himself, created us to live not as individuals or even just as community, but as people joined to him, made in God's image, meant for God. Our purpose is for God. And so we celebrate that first creation, which is broken by our sin, is being healed and remade through the incarnation, life, death, resurrection, ascension, and the pouring out of the Spirit. It's celebration, it's feast, it's not just party. It has meaning and purpose. In fact, it has the meaning and the purpose upon which all other things reside. But you already knew that. Yes. And it was such a joy to see all of the different people reading in different languages today. And I was pondering, you know, I don't know how many other churches have that many languages in their midst, so good on you. Good on you. I presume that James isn't required to preach in tongues every week in order to be understood. Perhaps not. But I thought it was actually a beautiful mirror of that first Pentecost, right? Because that first Pentecost, it says the Spirit pours upon the apostles. There's no indication that any of them have been to, you know, school to learn the languages that they're speaking. The Spirit empowers and the languages are spoken. And now here we are 2,000 years later, and people come up to read the reading in different languages as a reflection of the powerful proclamation of the gospel that sprang up from that moment 2,000 years ago and has spread around the world. And, you know, it may seem to us here in the West, where church going is in decline and where, you know, Christian belief and faith is often derided culturally, it may seem that it's sort of lost its steam, but I can assure you that when you look around the world, when you look out across Asia and Africa, India, when you look out across the world, in most places, the gospel continues to spread like fire. The Spirit is continuing to be poured out upon people, upon communities, upon whole nations as they come to hear the word of truth, the word of life in Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things about a celebration is that at least, you know, some celebrations, birthdays, anniversaries, things like that, there's gifts, right? There's gifts?
Yeah.
You still do gifts down here in Leth? It's just sort of like, yeah. Yeah. And no, I do not have gifts hidden under here somewhere to pass out to people, although we will be passing out gifts of a certain sort in a little while. Beautiful thing to have confirmations. But there's a thing about gifts. And so we ask ourselves, what is the gift that is being given this day or has been given? Well, actually, we're going to say has been given and continues to be given. And continues to be given. And the first gift that I want to say is that beautiful short reading that we had from Romans. Now, short but profound. We have not received the spirit of slavery, but we've received the spirit of adoption, so that when we cry out, Abba, Father, we cry out, Abba, Father. And the first gift that we celebrate on this day of Pentecost is that when the Spirit is poured out upon the church, that Spirit at work within the apostles and all those who receive the gospel makes them sons and daughters of God, joint heirs with Christ. Now, I know we say these words in church all the time. How many have gotten too used to them? You know, you're not used to them yet? Okay, that's good. You shouldn't be, because the implication is profound. Yes, every human being has been created in God's image. Every human being receives their gift of life from God. We could say every human being is a child of God. And yet, what the gospel tells us is that when the Spirit of God is poured upon us, we are adopted into a special relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And we have this thing where we are, I mean, stop and think about it for a minute. In the incarnation, God becomes a human being and lives amongst us in the person of Jesus Christ. And in Pentecost, the Spirit comes upon us and we are made brothers and sisters of the incarnate Son of God. And we are made sons and daughters, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty profound. Should be on your driver's license, don't you think? Yeah. Right under your name. Yeah. I don't know if that would make any difference with the speeding tickets, but you never know. You know, you could say Gregory Kerr Wilson, joint heir with Christ. Yeah. And then, of course, you'd be arrested and taken in, and, taken to be checked out, right, to see if you're okay. But it's identity, isn't it? I mean, in a culture where we talk so much about what is our identity and constructing our own identity, we don't construct our identity. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, has poured out His Spirit upon us and has called us sons and daughters, joint heirs with Christ. We receive the gift of our identity from the one who made us for Himself, who knows us better than we know ourselves, and who gifts us with this beautiful thing. The first, most profound gift of Pentecost, that we can say, Abba, Father, that we can address God as Daddy. It's a beautiful thing. Now, the second thing that is this amazing gift of Pentecost is that it makes active within us what Christ has accomplished through His death and resurrection. Now, I apologize if this is getting a little heavy theology here. No, I don't apologize, but we're going to do it, right? Okay? So, we proclaim that in Christ's death and resurrection, God has broken the power of sin and brought into the world new creation, new life, by which we are being raised up in Him. It's a great thing to say, but how does that become real for us? How does that become real for us? Well, you might have noticed there's a little thing in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 there, which talks about sending the advocate. Sending the advocate. And what does it say? It says, I will send you another, well, advocate, another comforter, another counselor to be with you. And then, but then it says this really interesting thing. It says, whom the world cannot receive. The world doesn't know and can't receive. Now here's an amazing thing. The Holy Spirit, we are told, is the beginning of creation, is the agent by which God creates the whole world. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity by whom the whole of creation is being sustained day by day. All of it, every single one, even the people who go around saying there is no God, are alive because God loves them so much that he continues to give them life. Just think about that for a minute. There's a profound thought. God, who has made all these things, and yet we're told the world can't receive the Holy Spirit. Well, how does that make any sense? Well, because to receive the Holy Spirit isn't simply to say that the Spirit is at work in you, but to receive the Spirit in terms of what the Spirit will do in you. And so, to call God Father, to receive that great gift, means also that the work of Christ in his death and resurrection is made real because you have said yes to the power of the Spirit within you. You've said yes to God, you've said yes to Jesus, you've said yes to the Holy Spirit. It's the activity of receiving the power of God within us that makes active the power of Christ's death and resurrection. Think about it for a moment. Christ's death and resurrection defeats the power of death and gives us new life. We look around and we say, doesn't look a lot like it many days. But that is because God has given us this awful and awesome choice to say yes or no, to receive or to not receive. But when we say yes, then the gift of the Spirit activates the power of Christ's death and resurrection in us so that we begin to become, in God's grace and in God's time, a new creation. So great gift of the power of the Spirit that we should call God Abba, call God Daddy. Great gift of the Spirit that it activates the power of Christ's death and resurrection in us so that we are being changed and made into a new creation. Now, I got to ask you, how many people have, for, say, a birthday or at Christmas time, received a what I might call a gift with intent? You've received, you know, you're the cook in the house and you've received the new food processor. I've always dreamed what a great thing it would be to give teenage children like a lawnmower for Christmas. Or, here you go, sweetie, here's a brand new snow shovel for you. Don't you think? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Think about that, parents. Yeah. You know, the teenagers are going, no, no. Yeah. Wouldn't you just rejoice in that? Wouldn't you just rejoice? A brand new snow shovel? It would make the whole thing so much easier. No? They're shaking their heads over here. Okay, not a lawnmower either? No? A what? If it was not very heavy. Oh, okay. He's going to specify the terms of the gift. Clever negotiator. He's already negotiating. That's good. All right. But, you know, we've all received gifts of intent. I have to say, I love it. I got a great German knife because I like to cook. And it does a beautiful job. Cut right through to the bone of the first time I ever. Yeah. Beautiful, right? Well, you know, you don't want to suffer through a bad cut, you know, when you're cutting yourself. But anyway. But gifts with intent. Well, see, here's the thing. about the gift of the Holy Spirit? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are always gifts with intent. They're always gifts with intent. They are gifts of love, unconditional love, and unconditional grace. But they're always gifts of intent, because the purpose of the giving of the gift is not only that we should call God Father, Abba, Daddy, but that we should also behave as sons and daughters of God. Right? And the pouring out of the Spirit, what an amazing gift those apostles got, hey? Can you imagine if they'd stayed indoors with the doors shut, you know? Yeah, we'll just stay in here and speak all these languages. Wouldn't that be cool? But just for the young people, that, there were no video recorders back then, so you couldn't post it to the internet afterwards. So you'd have to go outside. You know, there was a time before the internet. Just making sure you know that. Yeah. But it is a powerful and beautiful gift, and the church is given its birth. The church is given its birth in order to preach the gospel. In order to preach the gospel. That's what it's about. The first piece of the church's thing is that, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't come down and they don't say, oh man, somebody take pictures, let's post them, and oh, let's have a party, let's have a party. No. There is partying that goes on. But the first thing that happens is the gift at work in them, because they have received it, is the means by which people from every language and nation, at least the ones they knew in those days, heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And thousands open their hearts and say yes to salvation in Jesus Christ. They say yes to becoming part of the new creation that God is making. They say yes to calling Dad Abba. And they say yes to being part of the mission by which a God changes the world, by which God restores the world, by which God proclaims his love and draws, hopefully one day, every language, every nation, every person, every community into the fullness of the knowledge of the love of God. And so today, on this great celebration of Pentecost, and I have to just acknowledge that, yes, we're doing confirmations on Pentecost for the sixth time in 7 years at St. Augustine. Yeah, one day you're all going to wake up and say, do we have to listen to him on Pentecost again? But it's a great privilege to be here on Pentecost. So we're doing confirmations, and what are we doing? Actually, what we're doing is we are celebrating that a group of young and younger people, youngish people, everybody could testify that they remembered being 30 if they weren't under 30, so that's good, that all of these folks have decided that they indeed will receive, are receiving, and have received the gift of God's grace by his Holy Spirit. They have said yes to this gift. They have said yes to the gift of God in Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, his ascension. They're saying yes to the power of God at work in their lives. They're saying yes to the great gift. And they're saying yes to the gift of intent. Not a cheesy snow shovel or a lawnmower, but the great gift of being able to call God Daddy, the great gift of being able to grow ever more truly into living as a child of God, a son and daughter of God, a joint heir with Christ, and a gift of allowing God to work through them to touch the lives of others with the knowledge and love of God that we have seen in Jesus. It's a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful task. It's a beautiful expression of love for God, for one another, and for the world, that we allow the work of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, to work through us, to be agents of God in the world. Agents of God in the world. Sorry, suddenly I was looking over here and thinking, I wonder if they're that agents, you know, like, what was that movie that they talked, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right, Agents of, that's the TV show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., this is way better. This is way better, let me tell you. Somebody gave me a t-shirt that has on it a picture of all the superheroes sitting across on this bench, except for Spider-Man, who's hanging off underneath because he's a show-off. And anyways, they're all sitting on this bench together, but in the middle of them, there's Jesus sitting there, and he's talking to them, and he's saying, so that's how I saved the world. Yeah? Cool. Now that's a superpower, right? That's a superpower. The gift of God. I pray that all of us, as we witness and as we support these people who are reaffirming their baptismal vows, who are saying yes again to the great gift of God's Spirit, that all of us will have in our own minds, in our own hearts, a renewed willingness to receive again that gift, to renew that gift in us, and allow God to make us agents of His love and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone that we meet. Amen.